Welcome to the Steelers Battle Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody, and you're going to see a couple special guests we've got with us today. Cody, I'd love for you to introduce these gentlemen.
Yeah, so the guy on your, when you're watching the screen on your left, they're in order as you see the names on there as well if you're watching on YouTube. Our guests are Tommy and Frank. Tommy, I'm going to call him Tommy, but his name, if you ever see him online, is Yo Boy Pizza. He is a fantastic YouTuber. If you guys get the chance, check the link in the description or the bio for this episode. He's hilarious. I've been watching his videos for years. He's a man of faith like myself, so that's really cool. But he does YouTube videos mostly with Madden. He's got the chance to sit down with some of your favorite players, which is mind-boggling and awesome to see. But the first video I ever watched with him, he was actually unboxing like a $5,000 mystery box with random memorabilia from NFL teams. I remember he got like a Julio Jones signed helmet or jersey. I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. But it was awesome to see. And he's an amazing guy. And then the guy next to him, Frank. Frank is a Twitch streamer like myself. He's doing a great job streaming Madden. I just got done watching him play a game where he almost allowed a comeback. It was pretty close. it was stressful. But again, both these guys, the links for their content will be in the bio or description for this video if you're watching on YouTube. We love to support people who are Steelers fans. So that's what we're doing
die
here.
Die hard.
So before we get too far into this, we want to talk to you guys specifically about what it is that you guys do. So, and how you feel about the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll go through a couple of questions here. Thoughts first off on the draft.
Yeah, just what? You want to run through the draft real quick?
Any highs, any lows for us rivalries, whatever.
The draft was, this was a very exciting draft for me. I think going into it, I didn't want the Steelers to take a quarterback. Just from looking at all the experts, it's like, maybe they're not meant to be at least a first round talent. And then the draft came around, and man, I don't know. Just everything completely switched for me. And I was rooting the entire time for a quarterback, either Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett. Mm-hmm. And then Kenny Pickett came around, and then it ended up coming around to Willis and Kenny Pickett. And I was sure that they were going to take Malik Willis, but my heart wanted Kenny Pickett so bad being from Pittsburgh, and they took him. We just all lost our minds. So it was cool. I'm just so excited to be able to have him stay in Pittsburgh and just to see what he has. I think he's going to be good for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was kind of on the opposite end of that. I honestly wanted them to take Pickett at first, and then I'm sitting there. I'm like, we got a bunch of young guys who are still ready to prove themselves. You know, we gotta take a chance, even if it's, you know, even if it goes bad. I mean, you gave it your best shot. Like, this defense is not going to get any younger, so it's a really good opportunity to get these younger guys a chance of playing for a Super Bowl. And I think Pickett was the best chance to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think James and I
couldn't
both
agree with
that.
You guys more on that. Yeah, that's. I was so excited when I saw it was Kenny because I felt like the season he just had was absolutely incredible.
That was great.
You can't help but feel good about a guy that had that kind of production in college. So absolutely excited about him. If there was one defensive player from this draft, who are you more excited about? Would it be like the Marvin Leal, the late round linebacker?
Robinson? Defensive lineman. Oh, man. I'm trying to – I forget what round they took him in. DeMarvin Leal. Yeah. I started watching some game tape on him after they drafted him because I didn't know much about him. And he looks like an athletic freak to me. I mean, just some of the things I've seen him do at his size, I feel like not many people can do, and getting him in the later rounds, it excites me. It does. So I'm definitely excited to see what he can end up doing for us. I think there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah. So without looking at the schedule, I'm sure you guys have looked at it already. Maybe you guys have done this. I think you actually did this on your podcast as well. A link for that will also be down below. They use an app called Call-In where they allow you guys to come in and ask questions and stuff, which is really cool. It's them and their entire friend group. But record prediction for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year.
This is a tough one. Their schedule is not easy. I'm sure you guys know and have looked at it before. It looks pretty brutal. And with a rookie quarterback, here's the thing, though. I think I'm starting to trust their defense so much because I guess they're the highest paid defense in the NFL now. It's kind of reminded me of whenever Big Ben came in, you know, a defense that kind of led them far. So, as a Steeler fan right now, there's no way I'm going to have them have a losing record, especially under Mike Tomlin. But then again, it's so tough because the Browns are unpredictable, because who knows what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson, and the Bengals are up and coming. I don't know. I'm going to kind of be more realistic. I'm going to say 9-8 this year. Okay. That's my guess.
It's above 500. Mike Tomlin loves that.
What about Frank? What do you got for us?
I'm going to go one step above. I'm going to give them 10-7. I just have a good feeling about it. You know, I think if, you know, Deshaun Watson doesn't play for the Browns, which right now it's not looking like he's going to, I think you can at least, at worst, get a split there. We always seem to split with the Ravens because of how close those are. Bengals are a really tough team. The AFC North is absolutely going to be a killer division to get out of. But if we could scrape together a 3-3 against our division, I like our chances. And maybe I'm just a little bit of an optimist, but the defense steals games. Like, we've seen that like the past couple years. They will steal games that they have almost no chance of winning.
Right. You got to think of the transfer of the quarterback, because it seems like Mitch might start the season off. Like, how long is he going to be there for? When's Kenny going to get a chance? I mean, Kenny has to get his chance sometime this season. You know what I mean? So, at least I would assume so.
Yeah. James and I have talked about that. We would prefer Mitch Trubisky to start behind a young offensive line that's growing together. Allow them to gel first and then see what happens once they get going on all cylinders.
Yeah, I think the earliest game, I think it might be week 4. I think the Steelers play the Jets. It's one of their easiest games.
There you go.
Maybe. If I had to call whenever Kenny's coming in, I would say that. That might be early. I don't know. Maybe I just want to see it happen.
I think that I could see it depending on what Mitch Trubisky's doing, for sure. So now we're going to kind of get out of the Steelers realm and kind of more on you guys real quick. First off, what got you both into Madden?
Oh, man, I've been playing Madden for such a long time. What really got me into Madden was the first year they came out with Madden Ultimate Team. And just, like, the card collecting aspect, it was so much different than it is now. I don't like it as much anymore, but I was always into sports cards. And then I seen they came out with a game, like a video game that was collecting sports cards. And they also had a team play game mode back in Madden 11 that we played so much, just like all as friends together. Every day we would get on. It was just so much fun. So, and I mean, just being a football fan in general, it's my favorite sport without a doubt. Mm. Just pretty easy for me.
For me, it was actually usually like the superstar mode kind of thing. And then being able to transfer playing as one player to like Tom was saying, like team play and all that, just being able to focus on one player, really just playing a lot with my friends. But I would say the one moment that really kept me going in Madden would have been the one time that I actually beat you back.
I knew you were
gonna say
that. Yeah. Like, just like the hype that came out of stopping you on the 1 yard line, dude, at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Like, that just kind of kept me going for a little bit.
Never forget. Yeah.
Did you use that?
That was literally, what, 3 days after Ricky beat me with his left foot in a game? So, yeah, that just
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that is how far I've come. You know, that is how far I've come in Madden.
Frank, so. It was pretty bad back then. It's come really a long bad. Way.
Did you use, on the 1 yard line, did you use that gap B or whatever that your boy just showed us on his last YouTube video?
I think you just straight up overthrew your wide receiver or something like that.
Oh, that'll do it. Hey, whatever.
Excuses.
I'm this question we didn't have before, but I want to ask you guys, because James and I are waiting for this to happen on Madden. We've seen the team play. We've seen that it's possible. They can do 3-on-3. They can do whatever. When are you guys looking forward to or have any expectations of them coming out with a game mode that allows you to play with a friend on a franchise mode against the computer?
Oh, that'd be nice.
I've never even considered anything.
That's what
we
have been waiting for.
That would be really cool. That would be awesome, actually. I'm fair game for that. 100%. Like, I love something like that. That'd be cool. Plus, like, we do our subscriber franchise, and we can only get 32 people in there. So to get more people and people teaming up just to get 64 people potentially, that'd be awesome.
It'd be wild.
I could just imagine, though, trying to make trades and you have to agree with your teammates.
You have to get majority votes or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool. I've never heard anything about that before, but that's a good idea. That's
yeah,
really good.
James and I have always enjoyed, back before we got all the high tech stuff and I got my PC and everything, we recorded together in the same room and everything, no video. And and then we'd always stream Madden afterwards because I was doing the streaming stuff. And now that we're separated by a good half an hour, it's like we still want to do that, but it's out of the way for both of us to drive. Gas prices, you know. So with that being said, the last question is, if there was a game mode that you could add to the game, what would it be?
Kick Return Chaos, no doubt. It's a game mode that I came up with. Just any mini game in general, honestly. I don't know if you ever played the NCAA football games. The tug of war. NFL Street had Kill the Man with a Football. It's called Crush the Carrier. I can just imagine you could build up your own character in their like face of the franchise mode and then use them online versus other people. But
almost similar to 2K. Yeah.
Yeah. Just any mini games in general. I would love, I think that would be so much fun.
Yeah. You kind of stole mine. But I would have to, I guess the one I would go with is like maybe the bowling one they had, or maybe like necessarily the game modes, but like add a superstar mode back where it's not just normal franchise and you pick a player and it's just so bare bones.
Like 2K basketball has.
Yeah, like you were saying.
You remember when you used to have My Crib?
Oh yeah.
That is literally my favorite football game ever. Incredible.
Yeah,
for sure.
All right, we're gonna stop talking about video games here, guys. I know this isn't what we normally talk about, but we wanted to just to incorporate these guys in as much as we could. Real quick, before we go into the actual show itself and the detailed stuff we have, first, obviously, Steelers news and some sad news for a rival team. Make sure you guys are subscribed on your preferred downloading platform. We want you guys to make sure you're getting this content the moment it comes out, whether it's on iHeartRadio, podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you download, YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button. It's free. It's free to do. So with that being said, James, start us off.
Yeah, so big news for the Steelers this week. We were talking about last week previously that the Steelers have been sitting at 89 men on the roster for quite some time. We weren't sure what was going on, but it seemed like if it was just going to be some run-of-the-mill guy that was going to be brought onto the team, it would have happened right away as soon as they released the last player. The signing finally happened. Larry Ogunjobi, a premier pass rusher, who was about to get $12 or $13 million a year from the Chicago Bears, and then he failed a physical. Still remained out there in free agency, must be healed up now. Pittsburgh gets their guy and a direct replacement for Stephon Tuitt and a serious pass rusher. So huge signing for Pittsburgh, and really helps solidify that defensive line that took a huge blow when Stephon Tuitt retired.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious what you guys think. Is this a for sure telltale sign now that Mason's out? First, they go out and draft a quarterback. Then they draft another quarterback late in the draft, and now they sign the guy that shoved him to the ground after he got beat down with a helmet.
Mason's gone. Mason's definitely gone. Yeah. Is he gone already? I thought I heard rumors that he might have been gone already. Is he still on the roster?
Mentally, yes.
I actually love the Ogunjobi signing. I mean, to play alongside to help Alualu out, and then obviously we lost two, which was a big blow, and to just see – one of the biggest struggles for the Steelers last year was stopping the run. That got so frustrating to watch that. Yeah. So, and I didn't even know he was available to get picked up. So whenever I seen that signing out, underrated player, honestly, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with them completely. Ogunjobi coming in adds the depth that we need at the D line. But that being said, does this mean that Chris Wormley's now on the way out? Do they go in with 7 defensive linemen on the 53-man roster? What do they do? Do you guys have any opinions?
I don't know. What do you think, Frank?
Now you can run a 4-3 and have some backups there, I guess. I don't think he's necessarily out. I think this is a good time to, like, really prove yourself, you know. Regardless of if you're on the team or off, like, you're proving yourself for another team if that so happens. I don't know. I don't think he's out because you always need backups and a sub in on defense, you know. Like, I don't know. Depends on what they really want to do.
Yeah.
I feel like they need to be open to all options now. It's not abnormal for Pittsburgh to go to camp with seven defensive linemen and keep seven on the 53-man roster. It just seems to me last year the whole reason they did it, and even the year before, was because they had a defensive lineman who could do kick coverage in Henry Mondo, which is just a very unique thing for a defensive lineman to be able to do. But now you just have guys that are high pedigree, or you're paying them a ton of money, and none of them really should be cut, in my opinion. But if somebody's willing to give you like a fourth round pick for Wormley, I'm moving him.
Sure, why not?
He's out.
Let's not forget Henry Mondo also played fullback on a touchdown run, okay?
That's right, he did.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and just speaking of depth, like, I'm really interested to see how all the wide receivers do. I mean, they signed a bunch in free agency. They took, who was it, Gunnar Olszewski. They drafted two guys. They got somebody from the Ravens. I mean, they have Miles so Boykin. Many guys there in the wide receiver room. Yeah, Boykin. That's
Boykin
what it was,
has a chance to prove himself. Honestly.
Like, I'm wondering who's going to make the cut for that, because I feel like you can't keep everybody, right? I mean,
you're right. You're looking at a good seven or eight guys that are either high draft picks or pedigree or somebody that you paid. Mm-hmm. There's going to be an odd man out. Somebody like maybe Anthony Miller, who's a former second round pick of the Bears, could end up being odd man out, or even Miles Boykin. A former third-round pick could be odd man out. You never know. But it's going to be somebody that surprises all of us, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm nervous about it. We trade Deontay Johnson. No, I'm just kidding.
Nope.
Oh, man. We will get to that.
Two first-round picks, and I might do it. I don't know.
That's true. We'll get to that in a second about Deontay. Real quick, we do want to take a moment to acknowledge the unfortunate passing, the Ravens cornerback, Jalen Ferguson, recently passed away, only 26 years old. That's what blows my mind to think about that, because that's 3 years younger than I am, which is just, I can't imagine that. And the loss that team is going through right now. And then also their retired defensive tackle also passed away at the age of 55. James, you know a lot more about him than I do, as you got to watch him play more. So
yeah, Tony Siragusa was an absolute monster in the middle for the Ravens back in their glory days when Ray Lewis couldn't be touched and he made every tackle on the field. It was because of guys like Tony Siragusa didn't let any offensive lineman get to him. So he was a monster of an individual, a very tough guy to block. I want to say he was a 400-plus pound dude. He was just a huge defensive tackle and was a larger-than-life personality. He'd done a lot of radio and video since then, and really a fun person to watch. So a really sad thing to see both of these guys passing way too young. Even at 55, that's way too young.
Yeah. So now the last thing we're going to get into before we talk about O-line, we're going to go over that O-line depth today and the positional breakdown there at both center, guards, and tackles. Washington wide receiver Terry McLaurin gets a $23 million per year contract extension. What does this mean for Deontay Johnson? Now, before we go over this, and I want to give the floor to both Tommy and Frank first, I want to compare the stats from last year. So when you're looking at the numbers, one of these players got just around 1,100 and a half yards. The same person had eight touchdowns with 10.9 average yards per reception. The other player had about 100 yards less, roughly, with only five touchdowns and 13.7 yards per reception. Terry McLaurin was the less touchdowns, less yards, more per reception.
And it's Deontay, crazy to think of.
Deontay also had 30 more receptions than he did.
Yeah. I always remember looking back at the stat. I don't know if it still holds true, but out of that draft class, because they're out of the same draft class, and DK Metcalf was a part of that draft class also. And leading up to last year, Deontay Johnson outcaught them, had more receptions than all those guys. But he doesn't stand out as much as like a true number one. And I mean, obviously that comes back to his drop passes. I mean, it's hard to look past that. I mean, I look at him though, and the route running ability that he has, the shiftiness in the open field. I mean, honestly, very few people have what he has. And honestly, I thought he had the chance, and maybe he still does, to be a guy like Antonio Brown almost. But I don't know. I'm nervous now that they're not, I don't know. I don't think they're going to re-sign him, to be honest. They're bringing in all these other wide receivers. They drafted two other ones. Man, I don't see them paying him unless he does something insane this year. But even then, I don't see it happening.
I'm on the opposite end of you from that. like you were saying, I do see like the comparisons to AB. But he's also a quieter wide receiver. You don't really see that nowadays.
Yeah, he doesn't cause problems.
A lot of wide receivers are seen as like divas, you know, they always want the ball, all that stuff. But he just quietly goes about his business. Even with all these other ones brought in, I think that was more or less to help Trubisky and or Kenny Pickett, whoever's going to start. I don't think it's necessarily just to try and drive people out or anything like that. As for, you know, I don't know. That's tough.
It's tough. It is.
I don't think they get rid of him. I'm going to be honest. I don't.
He's asking for so much money, though.
he deserves it. He's that good.
He does, but that money could go other places, and you could keep building up the offensive line
We have the depth chart. Where do you think that might be?
They're looking at it right now.
This brings up a good point of the expiring contracts that are coming up. Deontay Johnson's really the biggest talent. I mean, next year you talk about Zach Gentry's deal is going to be up, but how much do you pay a number two tight end? Kevin Dotson's coming up, but he hasn't proven a lot yet. I like him personally. I think he's got a lot of potential, but we haven't seen a ton from him yet. Chase Claypool, the following season, his contract's going to run out. An amazing rookie year, kind of a step backwards last year. We got to pay somebody at wide receiver.
Yeah, I definitely
the question is how much are they willing to pay?
Right, yeah. I think they would definitely pay Deontay over Chase Claypool. Guys.
No, you're good. So, yeah, just thinking back to that, I am on the same boat as I would say Tommy is basically, I don't think you can re-sign him. I don't think you can keep you said you think they will re-sign him.
I don't think they're going to re-sign.
Okay,
him.
Yeah. I don't think you can. I think the writing's on the wall. They drafted two wide receivers this year. The depth chart's there. They went out and signed two or three more guys.
Yeah.
At this point, like you said, he'd have to do something dramatic this year in order to solidify his position on the roster, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You can't, and it's less the drop passes. It's more of when he drop passes. So many of those times were on third and short or near the end zone. You end up having to punt the ball away or kick a field goal when you easily should have gotten a touchdown. Just unfortunate timing on his part. But again, even if he has a phenomenal year, I don't know what Pittsburgh's going to be willing to give up financially to keep him there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if he can build the trust with Kenny Pickett and Kenny Pickett has him as his number one guy, kind of like Joe Burrow loves Jamar Chase, like maybe that could keep him around, but he's just going to have to go out there and ball out and just prove that he can be Kenny Pickett's number one man.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're right. He needs to prove it on the field this year. I don't think he's going to get the deal before the year. I just don't think they're going to do it. But if he goes and balls out this year, you got to pay the man. You got to keep him around.
He has so much potential there. Like, I hope that he's going to be on the team. I just don't see it happening. That's kind of where I stand. I'm a big fan of Deontay Johnson.
We're good. Yeah. All right, now it's the big moment, the big time. We're going to run through the offensive linemen. Again, we're not going too far into depth here. We're basically just talking about the guys, what we like about them, what we don't, and just kind of basically going over who is on the team now. So that way when we get to after this and into training camp, when James and I go over the way too early 53-man roster predictions, you guys have an idea of who these players are. So, James, start us off, center position.
Very new and exciting, Mason Cole, our new starting center from the Minnesota Vikings. So that's number one at center behind him, J.C. Hasenhauer, who we got to see a little bit of later on in the season, has some ability to play guard as well as center. Chris Owens, an undrafted free agent out of Alabama. Stop me if you've heard that before. That was J.C. Hasenhauer's path as well. And then your guard slash center, Kendrick Green, who seems to be going a little bit more guard this year, which is a good idea because the center experiment was a disaster last year. So that's our four guys in the center-ish category. I think Mason is really the big deal here. I think it's going to be a big upgrade from Kendrick last year.
Yeah. Frank, Tommy, you guys take it away.
Oh, gosh. I'm kind of not the biggest expert on offensive linemen, to be completely honest.
guard, we got James Daniels, who I'm honestly excited about. Another young offensive lineman from the Bears. Not too bad. I mean, he's been blocking for David Montgomery.
Yeah.
So now he gets to block for Najee Harris. So he's pretty much the same kind of like, not necessarily power back, but he's still got the elusiveness to help out there. See who else we got here. Chukwuma Okorafor at tackle again. Easy money right there. Kevin Dotson, Dan Moore. Again, we're not really experts on O-line, but again, young offensive line. They have a chance to really grow together, get that chemistry working, and that's really important for the O-line.
Yeah, the O-line was awful last year, so to see them really address it, in my opinion, is just a much-needed thing, and they did that, and it seems like they do have some guys that they could kind of build chemistry around and give Kenny Pickett some help back there so he's not running for his life every play.
Yeah, another big offseason addition being the James Daniels signing. 6'4", 327 guard. You got to imagine, in my opinion, unless Kevin Green does something, or Kendrick Green, excuse me, does something crazy to move in front of Kevin Dotson on that list for guard position, James Daniels and Kevin Dotson, in my opinion, are the two best guards you have and are drastically better than what we had last year, even though Kevin Dotson was there in and out of the lineup. But James Daniels coming in on one heck of a deal. James and I talked about this before when we signed him. Position is much, much better than what it was last year. And then obviously we also have who's the other guy? Nate Gilliam,
who was a practice squad guy last year, so nothing really noteworthy. I doubt he's going to push anybody for a roster spot. I feel like it's pretty much just your starters, and Kendrick Green and J.C. Hassenhauer pushing as the backups, really. So I'll be surprised if anybody else makes a big push there. But I think it's a huge signing with James Daniels. I'm really excited about that. And one of the underrated things is this is a guy coming off of his rookie contract. He's already 4 years in the league, but he's only 24. Same with Chukwuma Okorafor out at right tackle. 4 years in the league, he's only 24. So these guys have some excellent experience, and the whole starting offensive line is very young. I liked how Dan Moore progressed as the season went on. He blocked a lot better in the last half of the season than he did in the first half of the season, where sometimes it was just an open door, people going right by him. So I'm optimistic, and I think the offensive tackle position, we can even expect it better with the same two guys, just knowing that the progression is going to continue with them.
Yeah. And then again, that offensive tackle position, we already mentioned Chukwuma Okorafor, Dan Moore. You got Joe Haag out there. You got Chaz Green, Trent Scott, John LeGlue, Jake Dixon, and Jordan Tucker. Those are the guys, the last two guys being the undrafted free agents that we signed. Again, the tackle depth is massive there. And I think that when you compare it to the guard and center and the flexibility that we have at the inside, you think of guys like Kendrick Green, all these guys that can play kind of both positions. I'm excited, and I'm going to call it right now. Maybe we all want to do this. I don't know. I'm going to call Mason Cole, Kevin Dotson, James Daniels, Chukwuma Okorafor, and Dan Moore Jr. as the starting five.
Well, yeah.
I think we're kind of agreed on that.
That was the easy part.
Yeah, that was pretty easy, right? my dark horse this year is going to be John LeGlue. I like how he showed last year being able to play tackle and guard, and I thought he filled in fairly well at guard when he played. So I'm excited to see what he can do another year, lifting weights, getting a little bigger and stronger. Let's see what he can show this year. Maybe he can be that number one backup swing tackle and maybe even pass up Joe Haag in that spot. I'd love to see a little more development. I'm going to be excited to see him play in some preseason games.
Yeah, love that 6'7 frame as well, 310 pounds. Yeah. That is a big boy. So with that being said, we did this real quick. There was a lot of pre-show stuff this day. Next week, we'll be going over D linemen, so make sure you guys come and hang out for that. We can't thank these two guys enough below me here, Tommy and Frank. Yo Boy Pizza.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Throwing Dots on Twitch is Frank's. Again, these links will be in the bio or the description, as well as their podcast on the Callin app. Again, we can't thank you guys enough for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James Cody, with Tommy and Frank signing off.
Peace.
Thank you very much. Peace.